Well, thank you, Pastor Hickson. It's like coming home when my wife and I come down here to this part of Ohio. It was way back in 1972 that I graduated from OU, and seems like a long, long time ago. I guess it was. some of you weren't even born then. But it's also a joy for us to be here at the church. And it seems like every time we come, there's new faces and we meet new people and some old faces too. But we really are happy to be here with you this morning and this evening. And it's encouraging to us that as we talk with people, they mention things that we have written about in some of our tooth tales, our prayer letters that come out, and let us know that they've been praying for us. That's really, really an encouragement to us, and we need that, and we appreciate it very, very much. This morning I'm going to show some pictures of our time in the Philippines recently. And this evening I'll show some pictures of our ministry in Africa, as Pastor Hickson mentioned, in Benin. Some people say it Benin, Africa. And as you know, West Africa is under a lot of undergoing a lot of problems right now. And Benin is in West Africa. And I noticed yesterday in the news they were they had a picture of a map of Africa showing where the Ebola virus was and is. And we are, to this point, we have not been really affected by that there. It's been a few countries away. But on the map that they showed yesterday on the news, they indicated that the country of Nigeria has had some cases of Ebola virus as well. And if you know Africa, Nigeria borders Benin, or Benin borders Nigeria. And we are particularly close to the Nigerian border where we work. So, we would just ask you to pray about that. Lord willing, our plan is to be there in December again this year. So we're not particularly afraid of that, Ebola virus. There are a lot of other diseases that I can get that are easier to get than Ebola. And so you know, you just have to use wisdom and take precautions. And we take precautions with everyone we see. So I know in my mind that's not going to stop me from going. So, but we just need prayer for that as well. I think I mentioned last time I was here about the clinic that we're building in Benin and how God has provided land for that. And at the time that I was here last year, we had no idea how fast God was going to work there in Benin. In fact, he's worked faster than we're able to keep up with him. And we had anticipated that the clinic building that we're hoping to build there, that we would be able to raise the $90,000 needed for that building. And I can stand here today and tell you that we've raised over $100,000 for that clinic building. And next week they're going to start on the foundation of the building. And I just can't believe that. We have not even really asked people for money. We are a faith mission, and we don't like to ask people for money, because God knows what we need, and God has provided the money for that clinic faster, like I said, than we anticipated, and now we're kind of behind schedule in terms of the next phase. We have to outfit the clinic now, and we weren't really anticipating doing that, and also staffing the clinic. So You can pray for that, and I just encourage you to come tonight and just see what God is doing there in Benin, which is the area that we work is almost 100% Muslim. And a Muslim chief has given land for the clinic, and the Muslim people are behind this clinic. It's just amazing. This morning I want to highlight our ministry in the Philippines with you. And as we were here last year, we had no idea that a few months after being here, that there would be a few weeks after being here, there would be a major typhoon in the Philippines. And that happened in November. I think it was November 8th, something like that. It might have been before we were here. I can't remember. I can't remember where I was yesterday. I think was the strongest typhoon on record. And it really devastated parts of the Philippines. And that occurred in November, and in December, our mission sent a father and daughter medical team, both doctors, both Filipino doctors that live in the United States, and they went with a team of other people in the Philippines, pastors and nurses and such, to the Philippines in December, so about a month after the typhoon. And we, as a mission, had been praying. We have been to the Philippines a number of times, maybe 8 times or so for ministry. But we were looking at a particular island in the Philippines called Samar, S-A-M-A-R, and you'll see that in a little bit. And this island was pretty much off limits to outsiders, particularly Americans, and was actually... Americans were actually warned by the State Department in the United States not to go there, Samar. So, I don't know, we must have a death wish or something, but we were praying, okay, Lord, let us go there. Because the main reason is because the gospel wasn't there. That's why we wanted to go, not because it was dangerous. We saw no way to be able to do that because of the danger. There's a group there called NPA, and right now I can't think of the what it means. New People's Army, I think, is what it is. My wife's shaking her head, yes. It's basically a communist group, very, very dangerous group of people who like to kidnap Westerners, and kind of like what's going on in the Middle East. And so we were praying about the Lord, you know, opening a door. Well, as the typhoon hit the Philippines, the first place it hit was Samar. That took the brunt of this this typhoon, and along with the devastation there, it basically destroyed the network of this NPA group. Many of them probably died, as many people in the Philippines died. Their infrastructure was destroyed, as most people's infrastructure was destroyed, and opened the door for us to go, particularly at first in a relief effort. And that's what the team did in December. They did medical work, and they gave out a lot of food supplies and other things to help the people in that area of Samar, particularly in the city of Giwan. And that city of Giwan, there was not one house that was untouched by the storm, and many houses were completely destroyed, non-existent today. You can't even tell where they were. And there were many people in the city of Giwan that died, and many that are still unaccounted for to this day. And so our team was able to go there and experience little problems from this group. And so we made plans to go in February of this year, 2014. And so I went on that team in February, and again, we experienced little problems. There were a couple of incidents, and you still have to be pretty careful as to where you go and who you're with and so on. But the main thing that we saw there in the midst of this devastation were the hearts of the Filipino people were open to the gospel. And the first team in December saw people saved, and we saw people saved in February. And so now our burden became not so much relief, but churches. Because there were, as people are saved, we know the next step is discipleship, and the next step is being involved in a local church. And there were and are really no really good local churches in this area of Samara, particularly in the city of Giwan. And so we began to pray that somehow the Lord would allow us to be able to help in the church planting effort there in Samara. And so we were praying that God would raise up a Filipino man that might desire to move there and be our point man for particularly discipleship as many new Christians were there. And so we were praying for that as we began to prepare to go in May of this year. And on that trip in May, there was a young man that was attending a church on another island who came to be part of the team. And he was praying about whether the Lord would have him and his wife move there to Giwan. Now, there's not much left in Giwan today, and so it's difficult to live there. But he has moved there, and he is presently conducting Bible studies with people that were saved as a result of the ministries before that, and people that were saved in May. And I can't believe it's just amazing what God is doing there. So I want to share that with you this morning. This man's name is LeBron. Have you heard of anybody else by that name? LeBron. So it's not a hard name to remember to pray for LeBron. LeBron in the Philippines. Well, you can pray for the other LeBron too. Particularly, he's back in Ohio, so you can probably want to pray harder for him. But anyway, LeBron. And we also have another man in the Philippines. His name is JP, Jero Paul, but he goes by JP. And JP is actually part of our mission, has been part of our mission for several years. His wife is a medical doctor, and it was his wife and her father that went in December. And JP has been church planting in another island in the Philippines, and he has been part of our ministries in Samar, particularly in Giwan, and he is very burdened, and you'll see him on these pictures. It's unbelievable what he has done in Giwan, and he, Lord willing, will be moving there as well permanently in March. Now, JP has had extended Bible training. He knows the scriptures. LeBron is not in that category. LeBron is still a student of the Bible with a desire to serve the Lord and to be a church planter. But JP is going to be there to mentor him and live there and help in the church planting effort as our main church planter in the Philippines. So God is really working there. And it took this typhoon to open the door and allow us to get in there and other groups as well. So we're going to look at those pictures, and then I'll share some thoughts from the Bible. So hopefully, you've been looking at me twice. So I'm sorry about that. This whole time. So this is who we are, and we are on Facebook. The mission is on Facebook as well. If you can find us there, GDM Missions on Facebook. And we try to post a lot of pictures of some of our ministries as we're on the ministry, if we can. So you can follow us there on Facebook. And we're part of Grace Dental and Medical Missions, as Pastor Hickson mentioned. And our goal is to enable church planting through medical missions. We see our purpose as
the establishment of churches, although we're not going to be the ones to do that. It's other churches that establish churches, and that's where JP comes in as a church planter and from a church in the Philippines. So that's what we want to do, and we want to aid like-minded missionaries and national pastors in their church planting efforts. Worldwide, we do it. As Pastor Hickson mentioned, we've been to almost 30 countries and trying to be compliant to the Great Commission in the Bible, Matthew 28, to go teach all nations and so on, making disciples. And so that is our goal. And so we have been since 1996, these countries around the world, we have some of these countries we have returned to, some we have not. And one way that we determine whether to go back to a country is whether or not we see the potential of churches being planted there, whether the person we work with has the same vision and goal as we do. And so we have now tried to streamline our efforts a little bit, and we want to be a little bit more strategic and maximize our resources. We don't have as many people as we would like, particularly medical and dental people, and we're finding now that it's it's more and more expensive to travel to these places, particularly being on the other side of the world, as it were. And so we're concentrating right now on these three areas. Doesn't mean we're not going anywhere else, because we are going to Mexico in February. We want to concentrate on these three areas where we see God working the most. Doesn't mean God isn't working other places, but for us, we want to do this. So we're going to look at these two places today, the Philippines and Benin in Africa. And this morning we'll look at the Philippines. And as I mentioned, our effort there began as a disaster relief, but now it's more focused on church planting. And I don't want to give the impression that the disaster part of that is over. We still are helping people as we go. We give them things that they need. But our effort as a mission is to see churches planted now as a result. This is the typhoon as it approached the Philippines, and the area here circled. This white line there, that's Samar. That's Eastern Samar. And that's, you can see, directly in line with the eye of the typhoon as it approached. And as the typhoon crossed the Philippines, that's where it hit first, Samar. And if you watch the typhoon on the Weather Channel or other places, many of the reporters were in Tacloban. You see Tacloban there. That's actually on another island here, Leyte. And that was devastated as well. But here is Samar under the sea there of Tacloban. And so as the typhoon came across, it struck first here in Giwan in Samar, a city of I forget how many thousands of people live there, very congested city. And as I mentioned, not one house was left untouched by the storm. And you see here some of the devastation. And believe it or not, there are people living in that house today, just trying to survive. You see their clothes out here to dry. But you see also the trees. Coconuts were the main crop in this area of the Philippines. All of the trees were destroyed. All of the trees were destroyed. And so it's going to take them about 5 years to regrow these trees to the point where they'll be producing coconuts. So many of the people have no means of employment as well. and you can see this ship. I don't think it's supposed to be there. In some places there were 40-foot tidal surge. Picked up these huge ships and put them on the land on top of houses. And so it's just unbelievable what you see there. This is actually in the city of Giwan, where we work. And many people today are still living in a tent around their house and trying to rebuild. And the organizations that are doing the main relief work in this area say it'll be at least 10 years before they can rebuild in this place. And a lot of people will never go back because they have no house or anything. But again, our effort was relief with the goal of having opportunity to present the gospel to people as they came. And this is JP, whom I referred to before. JP is Filipino, he's born in the Philippines and has lived there all his life. And I just want to show you how our ministry works. To me, this was just unbelievable what happened there. And what happened there is what we want to happen, but it doesn't always happen this way. But this lady, her name is Lydia, and she came for medical help. And so you saw her in the back there. You've got to disregard this foot. That's the patient in the dental chair. I'm sitting there with the patient, and I noticed this lady here. I had to take a picture. But you saw her in the previous picture. She was being presented the gospel by JP. She had her registration form in her hand, waiting to see the doctor. He presented the gospel to her. And you see her here having some consultation with one of the nurses there. We were working outside. This is my co-worker's wife, Emily, that was assisting me here. But right behind me, right to the back of me, was JP, again, with Lydia, sharing the gospel, again, with Lydia. And right there, she was saved. Right behind me. And here she is. This picture was taken not long ago in her home. Lydia has been saved. Her husband has been saved, and her children are also studying the Bible, and JP has the Bible study in her home today. And so what a joy that is to see that. And not only that, but as we continue to work in different locations in that area, trying to get this to work, we had to have a translator for us because we don't speak the language. So this lady here, Tessie is her name, she was our translator. The first team that was there in December met her in a government building as they were getting authorization to work. They met her and asked her if she would help in translation because she could speak English as well as the local language, not necessarily Tagalog, but the local language here. And so she became our translator. And Tessie was saved. Here she is here in the middle in the gray shirt. And beside her there is her daughter. She was saved also. And as we were working, her other daughter was one of the translators as well. And you'll see her in a few minutes. But again, the gospel is the main focus of our ministry. You see JP here again sharing the gospel with people as they gathered at the beginning of the clinic time. And then as the day went on, many of these people had to wait the whole day for their turn. And so he and others took the time to, again, share the gospel. You see, just like the other picture before, she's, I can't remember her name right now, but she has her registration form. She's waiting her turn, and he is sharing the gospel with her. And you see, he's still sharing the gospel with her And you see here, she has just accepted the Lord as her Savior as well. And she is continuing in the Bible. She was actually from another location pretty far from here. She, I forget exactly why she was here at this time, but she is a school teacher, and she was teaching in a Catholic school. And right after she was saved, she realized this is probably not a good idea. And she quit her job. She quit her job and moved back to Yuan, where the opportunities for jobs are scarce. She's trusting the Lord that He would allow her to get employment there. And this young girl in the white shirt, this is Tessie's daughter, who was also translating. You see Tessie in the background here with my wife, and this young girl is her daughter. And she was translating. We had another dentist there. She was translating for the other dentist. And this is one of our nurses, Tracy, and she took time to share the gospel with this girl. I'm trying to move it. Whoop. I don't think that was supposed to happen. Oh, that's better. Okay, everybody stand on your side. I don't know what happened there. But anyway, Tracy here in the purple, I don't know how to fix that. But anyway, Tracy, we're almost to the end here anyway, so you just have to kind of lean a little bit like that. But Tracy's sharing the gospel with this young girl, and she was saved at that time. Right in the middle of our clinics. I mean, that's just a joy for us to see as we're trying to pull out a stubborn tooth or something, and we look up and see somebody accepting the Lord as their Savior. It makes it all worthwhile. And so this is LeBron laying on his side in the orange shirt there, again, sharing the gospel with people as they were waiting. And again, one-on-one here in the yellow shirt is LeBron. And then here is LeBron again. This man was saved at that time. And LeBron has since, as I mentioned, moved there. And so we are praying for him and for JP. So this is just prayer requests for the Philippines, praying for JP and for LeBron as they continue with discipleship and Bible studies, and that through their efforts we might see churches planted in this area of Yuan, and for the finances needed to support this church planting effort. Right now, we are paying, as a mission, we are paying for LeBron's housing there in Yuan. It's not very much. He doesn't have a very big place, but he is just really desirous to serve the Lord there. And for us, my wife and I, we would just ask you to pray that we would be fully surrendered to the Lord in this ministry and willing to do what He has for us to do, and that we would have the spiritual and physical strength to continue for many more years, and that God would be glorified through our efforts there. And to God be the glory. We sang that song just a few minutes ago. Great things He has done and continues to do there in the Philippines. So that's kind of gives you an idea of what we have been doing since the last time we were here in the Philippines, and our plan is to be back there in May of this year. But as I mentioned, JP will be moving there in March and spearheading the efforts there in that part of the Philippines. So it's just been very exciting to see what God has been doing there, and even more exciting, or I don't know if you can say even more exciting, but in addition to that, what God is doing in Africa, as you'll see this evening. As I mentioned, we want to try to concentrate on these locations, because anytime we go on a trip, I have to go, basically. And I did mention there was another dentist with us there in the Philippines. His father, that dentist's father, is also a dentist, and he was with us in Africa in August, this past August. And those two men, our desire is to work with us some more. So we are
praying to that end, and that would free me up, not have to travel on every trip. Because honestly, this year, we were in Mexico in February, and then the Philippines in May, and Micronesia in July, and then Africa in August. And at the end of that time, I was exhausted, physically exhausted. And the Lord was gracious, because we were supposed to be just coming back from Ukraine, but we canceled that trip because of the unrest there. And I think that was God's doing. our next scheduled trip was supposed to be November to Vietnam. And we've had to postpone that trip as well due to problems the missionaries having over there in Vietnam. So we took advantage of that and came here. So happy to do that. I just want to share briefly with you the account of a man in our Bibles, particularly in the book of Acts chapter 6. So while you're turning there, I want to read another verse to you from 1 Peter 3:15. It says there, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." So be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And this verse was written to us, that we need to be ready to share the gospel with people. And it's just very exciting for us to see young people like these men, LeBron and JP, who are so desirous of seeing their fellow Filipino people saved and are ready to share the gospel with them. In Acts chapter 6, in the first six verses, we read about Philip. Oh, thank you. We read about Philip there, and it says here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." So this was at a time, traditionally we see this as the first deacons being appointed here, and so the apostles had much more to do than they were able to do, and so they needed help. But verse 3 tells us what kind of men that they were looking for. It says here in verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." In 1 Peter, the verse we read, it tells us that we need to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready, or we might say prepared, to do this. And in this verse, we see a man, in this section, we see a man named Philip in verse 5. He was one of these men. And as we were praying in the Philippines that God would set apart a man to help us in the ministry there, he had to be ready as well. We weren't looking for just anybody. We wanted somebody who was ready. And there were three characteristics that they were looking for in these men. They had to be, first of all, of honest report. Honest report. Men that were well spoken of. That you wouldn't mention this man's name, and then you'll have like five people say, he's this or he's that. He's not a very good husband or whatever it is. These men had to have a good reputation. You know how hard it is to get rid of a bad reputation. And so, and it takes a long time to earn a good reputation. And so these men had to have a good reputation. And as we seek men to come alongside of us in the ministry in the Philippines and in Africa as well, we want to use men that have a good reputation. And so Philip was one of those men. He also had to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, spirit-filled. And we know that as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us. There is that Holy Spirit that indwells us. But as we walk our Christian life day by day, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? Well, you're doing part of that right here, right? Coming to church and hearing the Word of God. I was so blessed by Sunday school this morning. The Word of God and the teaching that you get here, it's precious. But we need that. We need that teaching to be filled with the Holy Spirit. My wife listens to Pastor Hickson a lot. His messages that he gives here through the internet now. And many times she'll say to me, "You know what Pastor Hickson said?" And you can't get enough of the teaching that you get here. And praise the Lord. I thank you, Steve, for your message this morning. But these men had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's something we need to be working at, all of us. Not just coming to church, but reading our Bibles, right? Spending time in the Scriptures and learning so that we can be filled with the Spirit. And so as opportunities come for us to share the gospel with somebody, we're ready to do it because we're overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We want to give out to people what we're learning from the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures of God. And then they had to be wise. They had to have wisdom. And I think of this word wisdom, and it's not that they had to be smart. They had to have godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. They had to be insightful. They had to have a wisdom that comes from God. We can be very wise in worldly things, but not have wisdom. And so these men had to have this kind of wisdom. And so Philip was one of those men. So he was ready to be used of the Lord. And you never know when God is going to call upon you to be used. And we want to be ready. You want to work at having a good reputation. You want to be filled with the Spirit. And you want to have godly wisdom. And we need to be working at that all the time. And then he was willing. Philip was willing to be used of the Lord. Not everybody who is ready is willing. There are many times that people are ready. I'm sure there are times when Pastor Hickson asks some of you here to do a certain thing because he feels you're ready to do it, but people may not be willing to do it. But Philip was willing. Look at in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You know the story about Stephen, who was also one of these men who was chosen along with Philip. But Stephen was preaching, and you know what happened to him. He was stoned. Apostle Paul was there to witness that and maybe even participating a little bit, as it says in chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Notice there, it says there was a great persecution against the church. And so, during that time, verse 2, "A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And so they left this area because it was so dangerous, but they went preaching the word. And Philip was one of those that went, verse 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Again, this was a time that there was great persecution. And he went willingly to Samaria to preach the word. And the people, verse 6, with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And I just can't help but think of what's going on in the Philippines, particularly in the city of Giwan, that people are hearing the word of God by men who have been prepared, men who are ready to go and willing to go, and people are hearing the word of God and being saved. It's amazing. Now, I'll tell you tonight that we've been to Benin in Africa 4 times, and I don't think there's anyone that's been saved during our ministries there. This doesn't happen all the time where people are saved like this, like what's going on in the Philippines. Many places are very difficult. And I mentioned in Africa and Benin, it's mostly Muslim. And so God is working in a different way there. But right now in the Philippines, unbelievable things are going on. And Philip here was willing to go into persecution. And I think of this man, LeBron, he's willing to go there to this city, which is not the best city to go to, not the most calm. And right now, it doesn't have a lot to offer a young married couple. But he is willing to go to be used of the Lord. He just wants to be used of the Lord and is willing to go. And so he was willing. And then Philip here was able to be used of the Lord. Later on in Acts, down to verse 26, it says there, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went right away. He arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem and to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And what did Philip do? He ran. He ran. Here was an opportunity. He was directed by the Holy Spirit of God, and he ran to talk with this man. And Philip ran thither to him, verse 30, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip was ready. He was prepared to do this task that God is asking him to do here. And he opened the scriptures with this man, and he showed him what they were all about. So Philip went in the power of the Holy Spirit to this man. The place, verse 32 of the scripture which he read was this. He was led of a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Sometimes we read the scripture and we say, well, that was then. This is now. It's different now. But as we're in the Philippines, the scriptures just come alive, because this is happening before our eyes, the same thing. That people who were devastated by the storm, their hearts now are open to hear the word of God, and God is working in their lives and they're being saved. It's amazing to see that. It's joyful to see that. And so each one of us, we're not going to all be going to the Philippines. And honestly, when I go to the Philippines, I have not shared the gospel. I can't think of anyone that I've shared the gospel with in the Philippines, other than people that I may have given tracts. I don't speak the language. I can't do it. Maybe you can't do it either. Maybe there's somebody here that can do it. But we're not all going to be able to go to the Philippines and do that. But can we go to Ohio University? Can we go to, you know, the town next door? and do that? Yes, we can. But we have to be like these men, like Philip. We need to be ready to do that. We need to have that well-spoken of reputation, so that when you come up to somebody, they're not going to say, oh, I know this guy. And they're going to believe what you have to say. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And then we need to be willing to do what God has for us to do. And praise the Lord that there are people like that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you're working around the world, how you're working in Ohio, how you're working here in the Plains. Thank you for the new faces even today that we see in this church. We praise you for the Word of God, and we praise you that Jesus Christ was willing to die for us sinners, as we learned in Sunday school today. And we thank you that people are still getting saved today, that the power of the gospel is working in lives. And we thank you for opportunities that we have to be a part of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.